talk about Tainis Bechoros on Erev Pesach. And one of the first questions that we want to ask is, what's the source for Tainis Bechoros? In fact, it doesn't appear anywhere in the Bavli. It doesn't appear anywhere in the Bavli. The second question we're going to ask is that, do we encourage a Bechor to participate in a Siyum in order to allow him to eat on Erev Pesach? And if we do, why is that so? Generally speaking, we don't try to avoid a Titus, and certainly if we have no Shaychus to the person who's making a Siyum. Question number three is, why is it that if I already participate in a Siyum, then I no longer have to fast? There are many cases where even if I'm allowed to eat, but as soon as I finish eating, I go back to my fast. We'll get into that question a little bit as we go along. The next question is, how much do I have to eat from the Siyum in order to have participated in the Suda Siyum? Generally speaking, we say in order to be part of a Suda, you need at least Achilas Kizayis, or in the case of Yayin, maybe a Shtias Mali Lugmav. It seems that the minig is to participate in the Siyum just by eating a very small amount. How does that work? So again, getting back to the question, how much do you have to eat to be part of the Siyum? The next question is, who's considered a Bechor as far as the requirement of Tainis Bechoros? And then the question is whether women are obligated if they're Bechoros. And then let's say if I participate in another kind of a Su'udah, let's say a Su'udas Bris Milah or a Su'udas Pidgin HaBen, a Bar Mitzvah, Shem Baruch, is that enough to exclude me and exempt me from Tainis Bechoros? Okay, there are a bunch of issues, but let's talk about the first issue. What is the source for Tainis Bechoros? If you take a look at page 1, if you have the pages, you'll see towards the bottom of your page, the Torah in Arachayim says, Garsinon b'mesechta Sofrim. Mesechta Sofrim, of course, is a compilation of Brisos, which you have at the top of your page. And in Masechta Sofrim, in the 21st chapter, it says, Bechoros Misanim B'Erev Pesach. So it seems like the source for Tainis Bechoros on Erev Pesach goes back as early as a Brisa, meaning at the time of the Tanoim. Vatam, says the Tour, again, it's the bottom of your page. Why is there a Tainis for Bechoros? And he writes, Zecher l'nes. What miracle happened? Shenitzolu mi makas Bechoros. That they were spared of the makas Bechoros. And he says, based on that logic, it should apply even if a person is Bechor me'imo. Normally, we say that a Bechor is me'aviv. For example, as far as Pidgin HaBen is concerned, but here it's even Peter Rechem Imo, because the Bechoros that were destroyed at the time Makas Bechoros included not only the Bechoros for their fathers, but even if he wasn't a Bechor for his father, but he was a Bechor for his mother. So that's interesting. That's going to lead us to another question about whether the women actually participate in a Siyum or not. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
From time to time, just say a few words because I can't see you. So, okay. Now, the Beis Yosef, which you'll see on page 2 of your Maror Mekomos, I'm sorry, the Birkei Yosef, I should say, not the Beis Yosef, this is the Chidah. He writes in Archaim Simon Tov Ayin Misanim HaBechoros Be'er Pesach, and he quotes a different source, not the Masechta Sofrim, but rather Yerushalmi in the last Perek of Psachim, and he writes Omru B'Yerushalmi Perek Avrei Psachim Rebbe lo haya ochel lo chametz velo matzah b'erev Pesach. So Rebbe, it seems, was not eating chametz or matzah on Erev Pesach. We know that we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach because kibol arusasu beis chamav. We don't eat chametz on Erev Pesach because of the isur chametz that starts midday or whatever. He didn't eat neither chametz nor matzah. That's okay. But then the Gemara goes on and explains, Rebbe, that apparently he didn't eat anything at all on Erev Pesach. He fasted on Erev Pesach. El began, began meaning because of Dehavi Bechar. He was a Bechar. So this would certainly indicate a source that a Bechar, and this dates back to the time of Rebbe, would not eat on Erev Pesach. However, the Birkei Yosef points out that the Yerushalmi seems to pull back from this, and the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says that not because he was a Bechar, but why did Rebbe fast on Erev Pesach? Omar Abi Mona, etc., etc. The Gemara says that Rebbe was an Istinus, and Rebbe, once he ate anything, he couldn't eat at night. His belly was filled up. He got satiated with a very small minimum amount of eating, and therefore he would not be able to be mekayim the mitzvahs Leil HaPesach. So therefore the Birkei Yosef writes, Upashton shel dvarim, this is on line 5, Mashma demaskonas Yushalmi ein misanim habechoros. There is no requirement on the part of the Bechoros to fast. And therefore he says in the next paragraph, Ktas kosh al ha-rosh, the Rosh writes at the end of Psachim that there's a smach, a basis, a source for the tainis Bechoros mei Yushalmi. Mazu smicho, what is he relying on? The Yushalmi's maskon is that Rebbe didn't eat because he was an istinus, but not because he was fasting. And it was only basically a havamina of the Yushalmi. So he writes, v'nira in the next paragraph, liyashev, the Yumashakosav Yushalmi, the Yushalmi had a havamina to say, el began the Bechar hava, because he was a Bechar, is that generated a minog, ba'olam, shabachoros mis'anim. So when the Rosh quotes the Yushalmi, it's not really a proof for the minog, it's just sort of an asmachta. How did this minhag originate? So that if we summarize what we have, the Torah quotes a source for this minhag in the Masechta Sofrim. And if you want to quote Rebbe in the Yerushalmi, you could only quote the Havamin of the Yerushalmi. So again, if you're back on page 1, you'll see the third source on your page is the Rosh in the last parak of Psachim. And he quotes the Yerushalmi, Mishum de Rebbe Bechor, that's on the left column. And he admits that Umasik, according to the Maskon of the Yerushalmi, Rebbe Istinus Havavi Avi Ochel B'Yamama, if he would eat during the day, Lo Havi wouldn't be able to eat Ochel B'Laila. Umikanshi Eish Saad, this is only sort of a mild kind of sauce, Lamashinogwa Bechoris Lusanos Berev Pesach. And then at the end of his presentation, the Rosh quotes the Masechta Sofrim, and therefore when the Tur, who is the son of the Rosh, when he codifies the Halacha, he only quotes Masechta Sofrim. He leaves out the Yerushalmi, because the Rosh himself understands that the Yerushalmi is not a source for the Minigah Olam of Tainis Bechoris, because of the Maskana, the Yerushalmi says that there was a totally different reason why Rebbe fasted on Erev Pesach. Now the Torah says the reason for this fasting is Zecher L'Nes Shenitzolu Mimakas Bechoros. So, you know, on Purim and on Chanukah we have something called Pirsum HaNes. I'm not sure if Zecher L'Nes and Pirsum L'Nes are identical. The Rambam actually in Hilchus Chanukah calls it Zecher L'Nes. So for our purposes, although as I'm indicating now, I'm not sure that what I'm about to tell you is correct, but for the purpose of the Shia today, we're going to assume that Zeichel HaNes is the same as Pirsum HaNes.
Well, how do you define Pirsum HaNes in not eating? It's not something that anybody can see, recognize.
Well, I guess the minig was that by announcing that we're going to fast, people are going to realize that the reason why we're fasting is because we were zocha to this miracle.
I understand, but the fasting itself, just make an announcement that the fasting itself cannot be defined as a pursuit.
Well, again, let's take the paradigm case of Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther, again, there are two ways of understanding. There are two ways of understanding Tainus Esther, but one way of, right, this is a big plunk about what Tainus Esther is all about, but one way of understanding Tainus Esther is that Tainus Esther is actually part of Purim. And in order to complete the process of Pirsum HaNes, we need, number one, to understand that we were in a Shas Tzara, an Eis Tzara, and number two, that we were saved from that Eis Tzara. And therefore, Tainus Esther on the 13th of Adar, together with the celebration of Purim, the reading of the Megillah, etc., on the 14th of Adar, those two form two halves of a whole, that the Rambam calls them Yimei Purim. And it's possible, this I heard from my Rebbe, that the Rambam wants to indicate by calling it Yimei HaPurim, that if somebody doesn't fast on Tainus Esther, he has not completed his mitzvah Purim. Because it's only when we indicate the Tzara, and we experience that Tzara by fasting and praying to Hashem, then we experience the Hatzol and the Yeshua by Hashem miraculously saving us from that Tzara. So that the fast of the Bechoros on Erev Pesach, together with the celebration of Pesach on the 15th of Nisan, that together forms one whole entity according to the Torah of Pirsum HaNes. So we start with being mefarsing the fact that there was a terrible Eis Tzara here, that the Bechoros of Klal Yisrael were also in danger, and then we experience it's almost like Maskil Bignus, Mitchila. Avonim Ayinu Lefar Mitzrayim, right? And the women are also part of this Avonim Ayinu Lefar Mitzrayim. So we had all the Xeros of the Mitzrayim, and then we were saved from the Mitzrayim. So you follow, it's like two sides of a coin, two experiences of one. Now again, whether Pirsum HaNes means that everybody out there understands, that I don't know. Even in the case of Hanukkah, I'm not sure if everybody out there understands. I'm not even sure if the people who read the Megillah understand what's in the Megillah. But Pirsum HaNes takes on like an objective halachic significance. That if I behave in a way that indicates the Tzara, and then I follow through by indicating the Yeshua from that Tzara by celebrating, then the two together form one entity of Pirsum HaNes. Okay, that's the best I can do for now, Joe, but I definitely think that it says in the Torah that just like we have Pirsum HaNes on Purim and on Hanukkah, we also have Pirsum HaNes on Pesach, and that begins with the Titus of the Bechoros. That's what it says here in the Torah, and we can probably delve into this at another occasion, but right now let's move on. If you take a look on page 2, you'll see on the left side of your page a sefer called Mikroi Kodesh, which was authored by the chief rabbi here in Yerushalayim about, 70, 80 years ago, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. And in his sefer, he quotes a very fascinating question from the Zichron Yehuda. I'm not familiar with the Sefer, but he quotes the Zichron Yehuda. And he wants to understand why would they have established a Tainus Zecher L'Nes of Hatzolas HaBechoros? Wouldn't it have been more appropriate, he says, to have incorporated the Simcha of the Bechoros, and the fact that they were saved and they were spared as part of Pesach itself? In other words, do we have a precedent? And again, we're going to get to the case of Titus Esther in just a minute. But right now in his kasha, he's not willing to accept, in the premise of his question, any sort of analogy to Titus Esther. So he thinks that any established minog, which the kiyum of which and the purpose of which is pirsum hanes, should be experienced through simcha, pirsum hanes through simcha, not through Titus. That's question number one. But question number two is even more fascinating. And that is the following. If the pirsum hanes here is the experience of tzara, the fact that I need a Titus because I have to be saved from a gzera, then who says the Bechar of today, you know, I have to be a Bechar in my family, I'm not a Bechar, but I'm saying, let's say I happen to be a Bechar. What does that have to do with the Tzara back at the time of Makas Bechoros? The fact that I'm a Bechar has no indication, it's not an indication whatsoever that I was, in other words, that my, you know, my forefathers was a Bechar, right? The fact that you're a Bechar doesn't mean that I'm a Bechar, even if you're my father. And if someone, therefore, is a Bechar today, that doesn't mean that Avi Aviv, going back to the time Yitzis Mitzrayim, was a Bechar, and switch it around the other way. If I'm not a Bechar today, but that doesn't mean a thing about my ancestors. Maybe my ancestors were a Bechar, or my Avi Aviv was a Bechar. So in other words, why should the Bechorim of today be fasting Zecher L'Nes for the Hatzolah of the Bechoros of Mitzrayim? There's no way that I can assume that because I'm a Bechor, there's a greater statistical probability that back in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, my ancestors were Bechor. There's no relation whatsoever statistically between the fact that I am a Bechor, I'm not a Bechor, and those who were spared at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore the Zichron Yehuda wants to come up with a new idea about Titus Bechoros. And you'll see this actually fleshed out on page 10 of Yemar Makomos in a sefer called Ratz Kitzvi, which is, he's the miyased of this whole olamot.net, you know, Reb Tzvi Reisman. And this is the language that he uses in the name of the Zichron Yehud. He says, Zecher l'Titus she'es anu ha-Bechoros b'erev Pesach b'Mitzrayim. Okay, let's talk a little about Titus Esther. In the case of Titus Esther, according to one school of thought, the reason why we fast on the 13th of Adar is because we want to remember the fast that took place b'eis tzara at the time of the Gzeir of Haman. In other words, before the Gzeira was repealed and the people of Israel were in an Eis Tzora, Esther told Mordechai, Lech Knosis Kol Yehudim, etc., etc. And the Torah actually codifies this in Hilchas Purim, in Tav Resh Pei Vav, that we fast a Titus of Esther l'fisha bo, because on that calendar date, Nikalu Lamod al Nafsham. They gathered together, they fasted, in order to spare themselves and save themselves through prayer and fasting from the Gzeir of Haman. Comes along the Zichron Yehud, and he says that at the time of the Makas Bechoros, the Bechore Yisrael fasted in order to merit being saved from the Mashchis when he would destroy the Bechoros. And that's a danger, and that Torah is indicated by a Pasuk in Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis, V'atem lo teitzu ish mi Pesach Beisar aboker, and they're commanded to do whatever they have to do in order to avoid the Mashchis. And again, we don't have any historical proof to this, but the Zichron Yehud assumes logically that in all probability the Bechoros would fast on that day, just like Klal Yisrael fasted before before they took any action against their enemies at the time of Tainus Esther. And therefore, now again, if you accept the premise, the thesis of the Zichron Yehuda, you're going to have to say that the tour, not only in Hilchas Purim, but here in Hilchas Pesach, when in Siman Tov Ayin he assumes that the reason for Tainus Bechoros is Zecher L'Nes, then it means, once again, as I indicated before, that this is a Tainus that they fasted in that time period of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And our fasting, or shall I be more precise, the Bechoros fasting, as a duplicate, so to speak, to replicate the Tainus Bechoros that took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's called Zecher L'Nes. And why is it Zecher L'Nes? Because just like in the case of Tainus Esther, to commemorate the miracle, we replicate the Tainus of the Shas Tzorah, which led up to the Hatzolah, so too we should replicate the Tainus of the Bechoros when they, the Bechor Yisrael, when they fasted to save themselves from that Tzorah. So there's a special Ness that took place to save us, the Bechoros, from the Mashlis, and we need a kind of a Zecher L'Tainus that they fasted then. And we look at the Tainus and we ask ourselves, well, at the time of Makas Bechoros, who actually fasted? It was the Bechoros. Now every Bechor, insofar as he's able to re-experience the Ness of then, he will fast. And that fasting is the kind of a fast that took place back in Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was incumbent upon the Bechoros. So now a person who's Bechor, again, not because his life or the life of his ancestors was in danger, but simply because of the Tainus Bechoros, that the Bechoros had to fast at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore the Bechoros today have to fast in order to commemorate that fast, which is the segue into the Simcha and that commemorates the Hatzolah from the terrible, difficult, dangerous situation that the dangerous predicament that the Bechoros found themselves in at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole parasha of Atem Lo Teitzu Ish Mi Pesach Beiso. Now, according to this, maybe you could answer the question that we asked before, which was quoted by Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank: why did they establish a Tainus Zecher L'Atzol? They should have established a Yom Simcha. And the answer is because this Tainus is only a Zecher for the Tainus that Hisanu Bechori Mitzrayim, Bechori Yisrael at the time of Mitzrayim. And we can now answer the question that was asked about why Me'achar Shekviyas HaTainus Ha Yizecher HaTainus Shisanu Rak HaBechorim B'Mitzrayim, that only the Bechorim fasted in Mitzrayim, and therefore the Zecher for that fast is not going to be anything but the Bechorim who fast. And again, even though the Bechorim today are not necessarily Tzetzaim, descendants of the Bechorim that were saved from Makas Bechoros, in that sense it's not exactly parallel to the case of Tainus Esther, but nevertheless, the Tainus, if it's a Zecher to the Tainus of then we have to ask, well, who had the obligation then, upon whom was it incumbent then at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to fast? And the answer is, it was incumbent upon the Bechoros. So if we want to have a Zecher to that fast, then only the Bechoros are going to fast. And once again, why is it appropriate to celebrate a Hatzolah, as the Torah says it, in the case of Tainus Bechoros, with a Tainus? That seems to be a very odd way, a peculiar way of commemorating a Ness. It should more be a day of Simcha than a day of fasting. But the answer is, we are fasting to replicate the fast of the Bechoros at the time of Makas Bechoros. Again, all this is under the premise that the Bechoros actually fasted at that time. We don't know that to be true, but it's a pretty, shall we say, convincing premise, an assumption that makes a lot of sense. And if you ask me the question, why do they fast on Erev Pesach, correct? In Mitzrayim, the answer is, when did the Bechoros fast? And the answer is, they fasted on Yudalit B'Nisan before nightfall, because on that night itself, following Yudalit B'Nisan, that's when the Bechoros of Mitzrayim died, and that's when the Bechoros of Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael, were in danger. So therefore it's appropriate that this fast be on Yudalit B'Nisan. Again, in other words, you might have asked the following question: well, if it's Zechel and Nes, the Nes took place on Tesvav B'Nisan. That's when the Jewish Bechoros was spared. Why are we fasting on Yudalit B'Nisan, Zechel Atzola? The answer is because we're fasting not Zechel to Atzola, but Zechel to the Tainus that brought about the Atzola. And that Tainus took place on Yudalit. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, based on... just give me 1 second, so I'll finish the whole priest. Based on this presentation, he says, what would be the din if a father, his wife gave birth on the day of Yudalit B'Nisan? Would he be chayev in the tainus? Because again, we'll see later on that even the father of Bechor should fast. Okay, we're not up to that yet, but just if you can jump ahead of ourselves, that the father of Bechor fasts. Okay, so what's the deal if a Bechor was born on Yudalit B'Nisan? Would there be a Chiyuv Tainus in this case? Again, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank goes back to the Birkei Yosef that we studied on page 2, and he's medayik from the Birkei Yosef that in such a case he would fast. And the reason for that is that even though he was born on Yudalit, correct, he was already considered included in the Tzara, because on the night following Yudalit, the Bechoros would perish. And therefore, he needed that Tainus to save his son from Makas Bechoros. Okay, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, I can't see you, so I'm in a very funny position here. So,
no, just saying it's making the rest of us look bad. A part of Bnei Yisrael is in Tsar, in trouble, and only they're fasting, the rest of us...
No, what we're saying is we need a Zecher to that fast.
I understand. The whole concept that only the Bechorim fasted on Erev Pesach,
right,
in Mitzrayim, makes the rest of us look bad.
No, I don't think so. If you're in an Ace Tsara, then the way to get out of this Ace Tsara is fasting. I mean, there's no indication that Klal Yisrael as a whole would fast because of Makas Bechoros. The hope was that the Bechoros would be spared. They had to add that extra tefillah because they were in an Ace Tzara. It doesn't mean that therefore all of Klal Yisrael has to fast. Like, for example, if let's say Chas V'Shalom there's a war in the north, that doesn't mean that everywhere on the face of the globe, in the south and so forth and so on, in other countries, we have to fast. Those who are under the Ace Tzara and they're located in a certain makom, and it's being attacked or whatever, they have to fast. Doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of Klal Yisrael has to fast. I mean, again, you'll have a kash about Halal and Yom HaTzmaut. You know, the question of does everybody have to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut if only the Yishuv here in Eretz Yisrael, which numbered at that point less than 600,000, they were under gun, you know. That's an interesting question. At what point does it become Rov Tzibur, and therefore we're all part of the Tainus? But again, I'm just presenting to you the Zichron Yehuda. His premise is, number one, that there was in fact a fast. We don't know that. And number two, who fasted? It was Tainus Bechoros. The beauty of this Chiddush, if you accept it, is that now we really have some sort of a logical explanation as to why we would fast Zecher L'Nes. And the answer is because that the precedent that we have is Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is a fast that's part and parcel of the Simcha of Purim, right? None of the dinim of a Yom Tzom apply to Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is a unique kind of a fast, and it's really a fast of Simcha. I mean, we don't say Tachnun on Tainus Esther. This is all because we're replicating the fast that led to the Yeshua, and therefore the fast itself is part of the Zecheliness. Otherwise, you really have a very, very difficult question here. How can the Torah say that we're going to fast, or the Bechoros can fast, because it's Zecheliness? What kind of business is that? Fasting is a Zecheliness? That's crazy. That's antithetical. And furthermore, what do I have to do with the fact that I I'm a Bechor? What does that have to do with that? The answer is that the Tainus then was a Tainus of Bechoros. That's the nature of the Tainus. It's a Tainus Bechoros. And we have to duplicate the Tainus Bechoros. I forgot one point here, but just give me a minute. Just one second. There's one point, because if I don't get this point in, I'm going to forget something important. Just one second. So I just wanted to tell you that if you're asking the question, isn't it paradoxical, almost antithetical, that we should celebrate a Ness with a Tainus? So I wanted to add one other point over here.
Hold it.
You with me?
No, you have to ask it again. We got jumbled.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Again, the question that we raised over and over again, isn't it antithetical to fast Zecher L'Ness? So I wanted to add one point here. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Shabbos on Daf Lamed Beis, and the Gemara says that L'Misha Nasel Ness is Mematim Mizchuyosav. We're not always excited about a miracle. Even though we are excited about a miracle, thank God God saved us miraculously, but we lose a little bit, because when we have zchuyot, we have to pay up, you know, for the brownie points that we achieved. And one of the ways we get paid up is by having a nest that saves us. So therefore, every Bechor today has to calculate the following. If I had been alive at the time of Makas Bechoros, and God miraculously spared me from the Mashkis, I would have lost some Zchuyot. And this is all part of the Zecher of the tour. In a very paradoxical sense, the Zecher L'Ness is something that makes me sad. Now, again, that sounds antithetical, but why would I be sad if I was spared miraculously? That's a reason to jump for joy, is it not? But there's another side to the coin, and that is that if I'm spared from danger by a divine intervention, by a Ness, then the Gemara says, Menachim lo mizchuyosav. So I have to now beef up my zchuyot. How do I offset the nikui zchus of the Ness? And the answer is, I take upon myself a tainus. That tainus, once accepted, gives me a certain schus. Again, I can't calculate it in the divine throne of justice, but it somehow offsets the loss of schuyot as a result of the Ness. So that's the Zecher L'Ness. The Zecher L'Ness here means something totally different. It means Zecher L'Nikui Schuyosov, I need to make up for that, and therefore I'm going to fast. In any event, how does this all come la'alocha l'maisa? So if you take a look on page 4 of Yomar Mekomos, you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch paskins la'alocha in Hilchos Pesach, ha'bechoros mis'anim bi'erev Pesach, bein bechor me'ov, bein bechor me'em. And he goes on to say, therefore, yesh mishomer shafilu nekeva bechorah mis'ane, and the Ramah says that ein ha'minog, ain't a minog came. That's not our minog. So there's an important Mishnah Bura here in Sifkaton Yud, which you'll see towards the bottom left column. And he writes, Yesh makom shenagu habachorim lahakel velechol b'seudas mitzvah. V'chei nagim kayom v'kam makom spinusenu lahakel. He says that although, as a general rule, when there's a Yom Tainus, we don't encourage people to look for a way, you know, go to a Pidgin Aben or a Sudas Mila and so on in order to be Mekil. But here in the case of Bechoros, that's exactly what the minig is, to look for an opportunity to eat at a Sudas Mitzvah. Af Besudas Siyum Mesechta. In other words, we don't have to look for a real bona fide first-class sudas mitzvah like a pigeon aben or sheva brachas or the like, but we can be satisfied with a siyum mesechta. He goes on to say, v'af shabachorim atzmam, the atzmam lo lom duas hamesechta. And it's interesting because when it comes to nisuin, so we have halachas like Shushvinon and so forth, that we're all part of the Simcha. The Simcha expands from the Chasen and Kalan and it pastes itself on, it grafts itself onto the people who are part of the Simcha. But here, well, what shaykhis do you have to the Simcha? He finished the Masechta. What is that? Why is that relevant to me? I'm happy because he finished the Masechta? Since the heft of the Suda, as far as the Messiah is concerned, finished Masechta, is a Suda's mitzvah, is therefore we're allowed to be mitztarev to that Suda. And once we're mitztarev to the Suda, it completely nullifies the tainus. We get close to the Messiah, we gather around him, kodem shesiyim, u'messiyim lifneim ha'messechta v'shomim, u'mitztarfim imo v'siyumo v'achakach osim se'uda. Now again, if I would stop here, you know, this sounds like a very dramatic kind of experience. I can tell you what goes on here. I mean, basically, if you get anywhere near the Messiah, you're lucky. And if you get a 50th of a piece of date of a tamar, you know, you're lucky. He's talking about like a whole ganze party over here and a suda and so forth and so on. But you know what? He leaves the main question out. That's what I. Honestly, I'm a little bit let down by this Mishnah Berurah. All he does is codify the minhag, but he doesn't tell me why are we so makil that all you need is to be mishtatev in a sudas siyum, which is not technically a sudas mitzvah. Not only that, you didn't even participate in the learning except for the little siyum that he makes at the end. You may not even know the guy. And where's the whole ganze sudas mitzvah? This is a very difficult thing. If there is such a tainus, and especially if it's zecher to the tainus of the Bechoros, as we mentioned before, how does Hishtatvus B'Siyum help me? First of all, why is it that after he eats a little bit of the Suda Siyum, he doesn't have to be mashlim the tainus? In general, let's say, for example, the Moel on a day of tainus, or the Sandik, or the Aviyah Ben, there, the halach is they're allowed to eat on that day because of the Suda Mitzvah. But Tzrichim Lefra'a Tainus Acher, they have to make up a different Tainus. You know, we never find that with regard to Tainus Bechoros, that if they're allowed to be Mishtatev in the Suda Siyum, that they have to be Porea and they have to give up another day and fast in its place. And furthermore, yeah, I'm sorry.
Do you have an answer for this?
What time is it? We still have a few minutes. I mean, I'm trying to move at the speed of light over here, but
yeah.
Okay.
No, all right. Doesn't answer by what we just said, because with regards to the if we're losing, if the whole reason why they fasted was to be kiyum their zechuyos, the fact that this guy was celebrating, he had learned the mesafta.
I don't remember what happens in Glen Park, but I'll tell you where I live. You have 100 people that are eating because one Joe finished Mishnayis, I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say, you know. Anyway, again, I wanted to ask a whole bunch of cash, so let's see if I can fit this all in. And if not, then I'll try to just get to the Aruch HaShulchan here in just a second. But before we get to the Aruch HaShulchan, the halacha is, and this is codified by the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tainis, Tav Kuf Samach Ches, that if a person on a Tainis ate something, then he should be mashlim his Tainis. He's not allowed to say, well, I already ate, and therefore I can continue eating. If he accidentally ate, he forgot it was a Tainis, he continues to fast no matter what. Now, if we're going to say that the Bechorim Right, if I'm a Bechor, I can be Mishtatef in a Suda Sayom and eat in it. Why do I have a right to continue to eat even after the Suda? My status should be that of a Shachach V'Ochal B'Tainis, that I have to be Mashlim B'Tainis. And the truth is that, again, with the exception of the Moel at a Bris, and a few other people, the Avi Ben and the Sandik, we assume that everyone else has to fast. And we don't give up the tainus for the sake of the simcha. Now, if you look in Mikrai Kodesh again, you'll see this on page 3 of Yamar Makomos. He has a long discussion about this point, and he quotes a sefer called Eretz Tzvi, and he says the following: that in every tainus we have two dimensions. We have a mitzvah of tainus, and we have an iser achila. And he says, in the case of Tainus Bechoros, there is no Iser Achila. There's only a mitzvah Tainus. And the mitzvah is because of Pirsum Hanes. There's no Iser Achila. And therefore, once he's already eaten, because he participates in a Suda Siyum, therefore he was Mekayim the mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes, because he fasted up until the Suda Siyum. There is no Iser Achila on Erev Pesach. That aspect of Tainus was never established. It was only Zecher Linnes. And therefore he says that he's allowed to eat for the rest of the day. So again, let's go over the logic. According to the, you know, he's very impressed by this question, and he's flabbergasted how we're going to allow a person to eat at the Suda Siyum and then eat for the rest of the day and not go back to his tainus. And he says that, you know what? It's only Pirsum Hanes. And if it's only Pirsum Hanes, it only has the Kiyum Tainus. And he can have a Kiyum Tainus in a few minutes, because he fasted up until that point. And then, when he completes this Kiyum Tainus by participating in the Suda Siyum, he doesn't have to fast anymore, because there's no Isur Tainus. So whenever you see the halacha that a person who participates on a Yom Tainus in a Siyum, and therefore he's allowed to eat, but then he has to continue his fasting, that's because of the Iser Tainus. And there was never an Iser Tainus on Erev Pesach. He's not happy with this, because he quotes, as we saw before, the interpretation of the Zichron Yehuda. And the Zichron Yehuda was of the opinion that we have to create a duplicate of the Tainus of the Bechoros. The Tainus of Bechoros was not just the Kiyum Tainus, Eichel Nes. There was no Nes at that point on the 14th, but it was an Isra Achila. And if we're duplicating the Isra Achila according to the Zichron Yehuda, then once again, we don't understand how we're allowed to eat after we ate a little bit of that date that he gave out, or if he gave out kidneys, whatever he gave out at the Siyum. Yeah, David. Now I know you're here. Okay. Until now, I had doubts whether you were here. Yeah.
Question from before that I didn't get a chance to ask, and that is, I don't understand why you assume Bechorim fasted, because they were told if you plant the blood on the doorpost, God will skip over your house. So they already had a havtacha; nothing's going to happen. Whereas by Tainus Esther, they didn't know if it would work or not. So that's why you fast Tainus Esther. But here, they were told, but God will skip over your house. They didn't do anything at all. So why did you assume that fasted?
Well, first of all, you should know, the Medrash speaks about many cases where the father did not successfully place the dam on the mashkof. And there are all sorts of stories in the Medrash about what the child did and how he ran to his father and so forth and so on. Secondly, it would seem that according to the Zichron Yehuda, what happened is that Hashem said, this is going to be one element, but you need another element, and that's tshuva. You need to do tshuva. You don't get an automatic merit just by simply putting the dam on the mashkov. The dam on the mashkov is like vidui, but you need tshuva shebelev. And to achieve tshuva belev, you need the element of tainus. But again, if I can just, you know, just give me 5 minutes, so then we can talk for an hour. But I just want to I want to show you the Aruch HaShulchan, how he took. But before we get to Aruch HaShulchan, I just have to tell you this: the Tshuvas Van Hugges, which you'll see on page 6, if you have a chance to go through it, he says that even if we'll argue that you're allowed to eat at the Siyum Masechta, that's only in a Suda. We have halacha of a sudas mitzvah, but the minhag he says of eating a little bit of mizonos or a little bit of fruits, and you don't wash and you don't koveh suda, that's not a sudas mitzvah. That can't be possibly be matir a chiyuv tainus. Even if I identify as Tzvi Pesach Frankwood as a chiyuv tainus, a mitzvah tainus, but nevertheless, you have to have a suda in order to complete your mitzvah's tainus. And yet people, and this is the accepted minhag, they get the payrolls, they drink a little wine at the siyum, and that's it. You know, nobody wants to eat mizonos because of chametz in the shul, and so forth and so on. How is that enough? So here I want to share with you the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan here at the beginning of Siman Tov Ayin says the following. We're going to be making all the coolest in the world with regard to Tainis Bechoros on Erev Pesach. Why? For two reasons. Number one, because this is the only Tainis that we know of, which is a Tainis Minog. What does he mean by Minog? Every other Tainis that we have in the Jewish Hebrew calendar year has a basis in Shas. And our halachas are based on Shas. There's such a thing called a Minog. When it comes to a Minog, he says that it's not mentioned in Shas, then we're going to be making. It's not a Chiyuv Tainis, or even an Isur Tainis like any other Tainis, because the Yesod, meaning the Kishkis and the Chalos Tainis, is a Minog that doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. Now again, this has repercussions for many different things. There are many Minhagim to fast in different communities, you know, Chaf Pesiva and other Minhagim, and the question is whether we can be Mekel in those as well. Fine. Then he adds a second reason, and here's where I realized that honestly he's pressed against the wall. He doesn't really have a good explanation for the way we treat this Tainus. He says, Mipnei Chulshas Hadar, because our generation is weak physically, Choshishim, we're afraid Shatainis Tigrom Shibush Bachonas the Erev Pesach V'tafriya L'kiyu Mitzvahs Leil HaSeder. He says that we're too weak to go into the Seder fasting, and therefore he writes, whoever feels that they want to be Mekil and pater themselves from the Tainis by participating in a Siyum, Ein Mochin B'yado, we're not going to make a big stink about it. In other words, in the second explanation of the Aruch HaShulchan, he admits that really, technically, there is no justification al pi halacha for all these kulos, but ein mochin biyado, because every individual has to make his decision, and he's too weak, it's going to impact on his preparations for the Seder, his experience in the Leil HaSeder, the Kiyum HaMitzvahs, and therefore find a way of calling this a quasi-sudas mitzvah because somebody in the community finished, I don't know what he finished. And now, Joe, if you have to go, you've heard my punchline. I those who can stay another 5 minutes overtime, you know, I'd be very happy if you could, just to complete this picture, and then we'll leave with a number of questions, but at least...
I can ask two questions on the two answers.
Okay.
Sorry. Number one, Tainis Esther is also a minhag?
No. Tainis Esther is in the Gemara itself.
It isn't. Is it?
It's I not think so. It's as far as I remember, it's in the Gemara. I have to take out a Gemara Megillah, and I'll look it up for you. Believe me.
And the other one is, if number two is correct, then every Bechor should take it on at a different to make it up later on. That fast.
Well, no, what he's saying is that the way the minhag evolved is that it's like a minhag b'tnai. Every minhag is based on acceptance. We accepted that minhag with the following reservations or qualifications. Yeah, it's very nice minhag, and we'll do it, and it enhances the zeichelines, but only if it's not going to undermine our celebration of all the mitzvahs d'oraisa that we have to prepare for. Now, again, for those who can stay another 5 minutes, remember back on page 6, I told you to look in the Tshuvas van Haggis. So he says the following. He says that this ptur, this exemption from the tainis of Bechoros by participating in a Sudas mitzvah, he says, Lo ishtatfus bi'alma, shebazeh bitel ha'inui, aval imishtatef bepochos adayin me'une. He says that it's not enough just to have, as I said before, 1/50th of a tamar. You know, and that's called ishtatfus. He's not going to say you need a suda, a full-fledged suda, with being koveh al lechem, al pas, and yayin. But what he wants is a certain bare minimum. He has a barometer by which we determine, is he considered a mishtatev besudas mitzvah? What is that bare minimum? He calls it bitol ha'inui. He's got to get to the point where he eats enough that he feels somewhat satiated, not totally satiated, but that he has broken up the tainus. What's the opposite of a tainus? Tainus is meant, miloshen inui, that's the shoresh, the root of the word tainus, is to get to the point where you feel ma'une. You feel that you're in some sense suffering. I don't know if anybody can help me out with another English word for inui. He's somewhat suffering. What's the word?
Affliction.
He has to feel afflicted by it. And now he eats enough that he doesn't feel afflicted by it. You know, it's some sort of partial or meaningful yishuv adas. And then he writes something else. He says, and I think he's attacking the Aruch HaShulchan here. He doesn't mention the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, Gadol koach haminog. He says that a minog should not be taken lightly. And he says that he doesn't accept the minog of some people who didn't even hear the siyum. They show up, or maybe there's not enough room in the shul, and they show up, and there's a little bit of food left on the table, you know, a couple of dates. I don't know, again, you'll have to tell me what you do in your part of the world for a siyum on a tainis b'choros. I don't know. In our part of the world, it's like dates, you know. Sometimes they add wine. Occasionally, I had a couple of crackers, you know, that are made of potato starch. I don't know what. And
for years they had, they did have a combination of real mezainis, and whoever had to vacuum and clean up after the mess, because people would walk around the shul, and then I don't know, it morphed into something else.
Yeah, it's not very fair, you know, to eat, you know, mezainis at the expense of all the people have to clean up after you. And here I don't even think they allow you to bring mezonos in the big shuls here, certainly not in our shul.
I think Rav Kirzner, he should be well, was very makpid that, you know, they understand to be machshuv the whole thing of eating, not just to run, grab something simple. And,
well, again, you know, I'm not sure about Rav Kirzner, but I just want to show you if you get a chance to go through the Tshuva Van Hugga here on page 6, he says, it's not enough to be mishtatif in the Suda, you got to be mishtatif in the Siyu. And I've seen this with my own eyes, that people come, the Siyu is long over, there are a couple of scraps of who knows what on the table, and that's it. So again, Rabosa, you know, we're caught sort of in a very, there's like a scale here, you know, a ball that goes to the left and to the right. On the one hand, you know, we find that the poskim are trying to create all the coolest in the world on this minog of Tainis Bechoros, but on the other hand, there are poskim who really are pushing that there should be some meaningful significance here to the siyum or to your participation in the siyum. And then I want you to take a look at Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who's quoted in the Sefer Moadim L'Simcha in footnote number 20. And all this has to do with the Masechta Sofrim. You remember we started our shiur today with the Masechta Sofrim, and that seems to be, according to the Torah, the source for the minig of Tainis Bechoros. And it's very interesting because in the language of the Torah, let me just get this out, I'm sorry. Here it is. In the language of the Torah, which is on page 1, it says, Habachoros, okay, and it says Misanin, okay. Now, there's something really wild going on over here, and I'm not sure if what I'm about to tell you is halacha or it's more chassidus. In one of the writings of one of the chassidus rebbes, which you'll see quoted here on page 5, he writes that there's a toz sofer in the tour. And when it says in our text, Garcina Mesechus Sofra Bechoros Misanin, which means they fast, it shouldn't say Misanin. You just have to change one word, one letter, and it should be Misangim. All you do is you add the gimel after the nun, and the word oneg replaces the word tainis. Now, if this be the case, Rabosai, the so-called minog of fasting for Bechoros on Erev Pesach, Alpi, the Admur, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Mizishevov, is a mistake. It really is not a minog. Or if it's a minog, it's a much later minog, way after the tour, and it has no source whatsoever. Because really, there's a special mitzvah of oneg in which the Bechoros should be enjoying themselves on Erev Pesach to remember the Nets. Now, why do I mention this to you? I'm not telling you that this is the approach that you should accept, but I think it's very important. First of all, you see that the Chassidus Rebbe was very bothered by the fact that the Tur could, in the one end, in the one sentence, in one part of his breath, he would say that it's Zecher L'Nes, and on the other side, he would say, Misanin, we're going to fast. You don't fast Zecher L'Nes. On the contrary, if you experience a Nes, it should be a day of Oneg. Not Inui, but Oneg. Misangim, and not Misanin. And the second reason I quote to you this Chassidus Rebbe is because it gives us a little bit more of a good feeling for those Bechoros who find all these kulos, which don't seem to be, if I can use the phrase, oiskal, they're not halachically correct, because you're not participating in the Suda, you're not really besimcha because of the Siyum, and even the Siyum itself, I'm not sure how oiskal it is. But at least keep in mind that, you know, you're doing the Zecher L'Nes, and you really, when you're eating at that Siyum, it's a kiyum of oneg Zecher L'Nes. And in this footnote in the book, Mo'adim L'Simcha, he quotes Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that he believes that this quote of the Chassidus Rebbe is an accurate quote. In other words, we shouldn't be mezalzel and say that somewhere along the line, somebody came up with an idea of adding one letter to the tour and saying that that letter was omitted by the printers. And he says, "In key, I agree that Hagazu Tzarich Iyun B'loshen HaMesechta Sofrim, because in Mesechta Sofrim it says Habacharos Misanim B'Erev Pesach. Now again, we're going to have to add a gimel to Mesechta Sofrim. We didn't find for 2,000 years, or I'm exaggerating, but for 1,600 years that anybody added a gimel to the Mesechta Sofrim. But guess what? There is one Posek who actually relies on the Chassidus Rebbe as a tziruf, as a sniff. And that you'll see on page 3, on the left column, the Migdanos Eliyahu, okay? And he writes that we should be mitzarif this day when we argue that the Bechoros are potur. And it's one of the various halachic considerations. So as I say, both from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and also this tshuva of the Migdanos Eliyahu, they both seem to take the quote seriously. And the transmission in the name of this Reb Tzvi Hirsch of Chassidus is a serious transition. And then on page 3, you'll see on the bottom we have the Dvar Yoshua. in his tshuva about Titus Bechoros, he writes, "Ein ze heter levatel as Titus al yedei sudas mitzvah el asiyum hu bimkom Titus." An amazing chiddush here, he writes. We think that the siyum and the sudas mitzvah is a heter. It's allowing us to eat on a fast day. You know, it's like esei dochalosas. It's a matir. He says, no. The siyum itself is a kiyum. It's a replacement of the tainus. Why? Because kol mahusa shel tainus habachoros b'erev Pesach hi zecher upirsum lenes. Ukayom, and he says today we have a different method of being mefarsim the nest that transpired to save the lives of the Bechoros. We're too weak, he says, to do the tiniest way, but we have another way. And our way of pursuing Nisa is through the Siyum Masechta. And why? Because when you recite a Siyum Masechta, that day becomes a Yontif. And again, he has many proofs for the day of Siyum Masechta becoming a Yontif. Okay, let's just finish the shiur by mentioning the following questions. Question number one, how much do you have to eat at a siur? Do you have to eat a shiur of a kezayis or a mole lugmav if you're drinking wine? Or is it enough a te'ima? And as we saw before in the Tshuvas van Hugas, he wants to say it has to be bitola inui. That's one appeal. Others say there is no shiur of kezayis, there is no shiur of mole lugmav. You can pat yourself up for the tainus with te'ima, any sort of te'ima. Question number two. What happens if you eat shirayim, meaning you weren't there at the siyum, and now you received what was left over, the scraps that were left over from the siyum, and here we have a tshuva in the name, again, not a written tshuva, proper tshuva, but a response in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and that you'll see on page 11 in the Ratz Kitzvi, that he was matir for a Bukhar. If he couldn't be mishtatif in the Sudas Siyum, he could patter himself up if he hears the Siyum on a telephone. He doesn't go as far as to say that he doesn't have to hear the Siyum at all, but as far as someone who didn't hear the Siyum at all, we have to look back on page 9 at the Madani Yontif. We don't have time for that now. If a person wants to pat himself with a siyum, is he allowed to eat in the morning before the siyum? Again, on page 9, the tshuva of the Madani Yontif, that if he knows that he is going to hear a siyum, he might be able to eat even before the siyum. Again, a kula with regard to Titus Bechoros. Then there's a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman, from Shlomo Kluge, that's the Elef Lecha Shlomo, that's on page 3, and you'll see it on the left column right before the end of the page, one before the Dvar Yoshua, and he speaks about deliberately delaying a siyum until Erev Pesach, and he says that just like during the 3 weeks and so forth, we don't deliberately delay a siyum until the 9 days, so to hear Ein lahashos sasiyum b'miyuchad le'erev Pesach. But again, the Madani Yontif brings others who are mekil, and they allow you to postpone the siyum until erev Pesach. What about as far as women are concerned? We saw in the Shulchan Aruch he quotes one opinion that women are also included in the Tainis Bechoros. The Ramah we saw says ein aminah kein, and it seems that the Birki Yosef on page 2 says that amongst Sfaradiyot there is such a minug even today. It's not a widespread minug, but women also have to hear a siyum if they are bechoros. Does the father have to fast if his son is a bechor and he's very young? And it seems that in the Tshuvas van Hagos on page 6, based on the Ramah on page 2, on page 4, excuse me, there are those who are machmir, and they require a father to fast, even though he himself is not a bechor, but he has a son who's not old enough to fast. Once the son becomes bar mitzvah, the chiyuv shifts; it's transferred over to the son himself. But as long as the son is a katan, the father has to fast. Not everybody agrees to this, but you'll take a look in the Tshuvas van Hagas on page 6. And also the Piskei Tshuvas on page 12. As far as the Kohanim are concerned, or the Levim, or the Gerit Tzedek, some say that these are called Yotzei Dofen. I'm sorry, forget about what I just said. A Yotzei Dofen, meaning a cesarean birth, they do not have to fast. Again, you have to understand why a Kohen or a Levi doesn't have to fast. It seems that the original Gzeira against the Bechoros did not apply to the Kohen and Levium. They weren't part of that Gzeira. They didn't have to put the Dam on the Mashkis, on the Mashkov. And Geri Tzedek Bechlau, their ancestors weren't fasting. And Yotzei Dofen, for many laws, is not considered a Bechor. Then there's something called Habal Achar HaNefalim. Let's say he was born after Nebuch. There were other births that the babies did not survive. They don't have to fast as well. All this is on page 12 in the Piskei Tshuvas. And as far as the Tainus is concerned, and the Minhag to be Masayim, a Masechta, in the case where Pesach is Chal and Shabbos, we can take a look at the Shulchan Aruch on page 4, and there are various dinim that apply in the case where Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. Okay, Rabotai, that's about all I could do. I want to thank everyone for participating. Again, the challenge now is over for me because now I get back that hour because we're changing the clock very soon and we're back to 3:15. Okay then?
Yeah.
Okay, Shkur. Thank you so much.